Now, we're holding them Dalet Amud Beis, the second Mishnah. Continuing on the topic of korbanos, or parts of them that are not ma'akev one another, unlike in the previous perek when we talked about, for example, the various components of a mincha are ma'akev one another. The Mishnah says, aporim va'elim va'kvasim, the bulls and rams and sheep, all of which you have the various menachos, not menachos, the various musafim that are brought on Shabbos. You have two sheep on Rosh Chodesh and most of the Yom Tovim. You have all the Yom Tovim pretty much. You have one or two bulls and a ram, seven sheep, and on Sukkot you have even more. So all of those, vasirim, and the goats, the word vasirim here is in parenthesis. In fact, in the Mishnayos, in the Flinton Mishnayos, you don't have the word. The Shidduch Kubetzos also takes it out. The Rashash wonders why. The fact remains that the dinim that we're going to talk about over here do apply to them also. Maybe the reason they took it out is because the Gemara is not really going to be focusing on them. The Gemara is not going to be discussing what we mean by we say these Chorim and Elam and Kvasim, and which ones we're talking about. It doesn't really talk about the Seirim. Anyway, Einin Ma'akvim Zezzeh, they're not Ma'akvim one another, meaning if you don't have all of the ones that are supposed to be for a particular korban musaf, then you bring whatever you have, as we'll see in the Gemara how we learn that. Reb Shimon says it depends. Suppose they have a lot of korim, meaning in other words, they have all of the we don't mean that they actually have all the korim yet. We mean that they have Rashi explains further on that it means that they have enough money to be able to buy all the parim, but if they do, if they do that, they're not going to have enough money to buy all the nesachim. So what should they do? They have enough money to, the Rashis on this Mishnah, by the way, are printed for some reason on Memhei Amud Beis together with the next Mishnah. So they have enough money to be able to buy all the parim, for example, but if they do, they won't have the money for nesachs. So then Reb Shimon says, Yovi par ephod nesachim, better let them buy one par together with its nesachim and do that, rather than offering all of them without nesachim. So in other words, here we learned yesterday that Nisachim don't always have to come with the korban, but nevertheless, Reb Shimon says that it's still better to do that, and therefore instead of buying more animals for korbanos, instead spend some of the money on Nisachim and be able to bring them properly. Okay. So the Gemara asks, first of all, how do you put them with kvasim deheicha? When we talk about the bulls and the sheep of our Mishnah, rams, we'll get back to soon in the Gemara, deheicha, which korban, which yomim tovim, or which occasions are we talking about when you would have to have a certain number of them, and you don't have that many, and you can bring whatever you have in. Ilema dechag, are you talking about the ones of Sukkos? Can't. Kamishkotam. By each of those, on most of the days of Sukkot, from the second through the sixth day, the rule in the pasuk is that you have to bring them kamishvot according to the rule. On the seventh day, it says kamishvotam. That's one of the, you have the extra letters in the korbanos of Sukkot, and thus an extra mem on the second day, an extra yud on the sixth, an extra mem on the seventh, from which we learn spells out mayim, is a remez from nisach mayim in the Torah. In any case, each of those days, it says kamishvot, kamishvotam, which means like the law, exactly as is laid down. So with Sukkot, in fact, you do need it. It is all or nothing. You can't bring the sum of the korbanos that are there. So obviously, our Mishnah can't be talking about that. As far as the first day, Tosfos points out that the first day doesn't say kamishvot, but it says yiyu, they will be, which as we're going to see in the Gemara later, as we see in many places throughout Shas, whenever you have a word yiyu or yiyeh or other similar expressions, it means it must be exactly like this. So therefore, obviously, our Mishnah is not referring to the korbanos of Sukkot. So are we talking about the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh? We have one bull, one ram, and seven sheep. And you're going to be talking about the korbanos of Shavuos, specifically the ones that are mentioned in Chumash Kodim in Chumash Bamidbar and in Parshas Pinchas. Where there you also have there you have exactly the same kind of thing. One par, one ayo, and seven kvasim. Each one of them, you also have a sur for a chatos, but again, we're not really focusing so much on that in the Gemara over there. The question is, on which they had mentioned three kinds of animals, parim, elim, and kvasim. Well, if we're talking about the korbanos of Rosh Chodesh or of Shavuos, elim deheicha, then which rams are we talking about? Idahanu, do we mean of those very same korbanos of Rosh Chodesh or Shavuos, respectively? It's only one aisle. So you can't talk about when all Mishnah said a limb are not ma'akiv one another, that the rams in plural are not ma'akiv one another. What rams? There's only one. And Chedushim on Yechasim La'Rashba points out, you can't say that it means that the Purim and the Elim and the Kvasim are not ma'akiv each other. In other words, the different species are not ma'akiv one another, because then that would imply that within one species they are ma'akiv, and that's not so. The fact is, as we're going to learn further on in the Gemara, that let's say, for example, when you have the seven sheep, if you don't have all seven, then you bring fewer of them. So why would the Mishnah be mentioning Elim in the plural? Idat seras to Teras Koyanim. And for that matter, the same question would apply to the Gemara didn't even bother to ask about the other, doesn't even bother to ask about Pesach as well, because Pesach is the same basic thing. You also have Parechot, Ayolachot, and Kvasim, and Neshon, and Filot, and then similarly on Rosh Hashanah and on Yom Kippur, you have special korbanos of Yom Kippur that has to do with Kohen Gadol. That's another matter, but as far as a regular Musaf, you have two Purim and an Ayol and so forth, but you still have the same point. It's only one Ayol, so why is our Mishnah saying a limb in the plural and saying they're not mapped with one another? So the Gemara answer, the Ida said us to Toras Koyanim, and if you're going to tell me it's the ones of Shavuos that are mentioned in Toras Koyanim, which is in the Chumash Vayikra. In Chumash Vayikra, it talks about the Shtel Lechem, and together with the Shtel Lechem, you have seven sheep, two rams, and then, in addition, you also have two sheep that are the Zilchei Shalmei Tzibur that we're going to talk about in more detail later, etc. So if you're going to tell me that our Mishnah is talking about that, where you do in fact have two Elim, also Havayat Sibu, also the part of the positive Havayat is Yiyu Oyel Hashem, and that implies that you need everything that it says there. So where is there a case where you have two Elim and one is not ma'akid the other that the Mishnah would be talking about? So the answer is La'olam Da'at Seres Teres Koyanim. In fact, the Mishnah is talking about the ones of Shavuos that are mentioned in Vayikra, the ones in connection with the Shtel Lechem. So Hachi Kama, what the Mishnah means to say, Lo'y Elim De Teres Koyanim Ma'akvile La'ayel De Chumash Atfodim. You should know, altogether, that on Shavuos, it comes out they offer three rams among the Musafim, because the two of them together with the Shtel Lechem, and one of them together with the regular Musafim. So what it means is, of those three, the two that are mentioned in Toras Koyanim and Vayikra are not ma'akiv the one that's mentioned in Chumash Bamid. The Chumash Apkodim ma'akiv l'elim the Toras Koyanim, and vice versa, the one of Bamidbar is not ma'akiv the ones of Vayikra. In other words, you're supposed to have three rams altogether that day among all the korbanos of Shavuos, but if you only have two of them, then you bring them with the Shtei Lechem, and that's that, and you don't do the one for the Musaf. If you only have one, then you bring it for the Musaf, and you don't do the other two. That's what the Mishnah means to say. So the Gemara says Ella part. So says, and what does the Mishnah mean then? Ella, well then according to that, Purim dafu la'adavi la'ma'afi. So you're telling me, okay, the Purim are not ma'ak of one another, even when they come for the same korban. The Elim dehocha dehu dehocha hu delay ma'afi inhu ma'afi. But when it comes to the Elim, it sounds like you're saying they're not ma'ak of across different groups of korbanos. The two of the Shtei Lechem are not ma'ak of the one of the Musafim and vice versa. Inhu ma'afi, but it sounds like they are ma'ak of within themselves. It sounds like within the Shtei Lechem itself. It means the two of them are going to be ma'akiv of one another. But in that case, then the different parts of the Mishnah are being inconsistent, because we're saying that sometimes we're saying that they're not ma'akiv of one another only across different korbanos, and sometimes we say they're not ma'akiv of one another only within the same group of korbanos. Well, most of you like moving tana moving the katana. Tana is mentioning different halachas, even though they're not identical. Now the fact is, the Mishnah is not specifically talking about Shavuos, which is why the Gemara doesn't assume that it means that the Purim and Kvasim of Shavuos are not ma'akiv, the ones that come with the Shtei Lechem are not ma'akiv, the ones that come with the Musafim, and vice versa, because as much as possible, we should assume that the Mishnah is talking about all the different korbanos. Only when it comes to the Elim, where we're forced to say that, because there's only one time when we have more than one aisle brought as a korban, then therefore you have Yom Kippur as well, but that's another the matter, really. The aisle over there is not even brought from the aisle over there is brought as a whole separate thing. The Gemara is not even dealing with the question of whether that one is ma'akev, the aisle or the musafim or vice versa. In any case, when it comes to Shavuos, then we're saying that yes, they're not ma'akev each other across different groups of korbanos, but they are ma'akev within the same one because the pasuk says yidu. So in other words, you do have to have, when it comes to the shalach, you do have to have all the korbanos that comes with it. But if you then don't have enough for the musafim, or vice versa, if you bring the musafim first and you don't have enough for the shalach, then no big deal. So where do we learn all this from? The pasuk says in Yechezkel, the last few chapters of Yechezkel, beginning from Perek Mem, he talks about the third base of Mikdash, Shimonim Hevyamenu, he goes through in great detail the blueprint of it and all that, and then eventually he starts talking about the korbanos that are going to be offered in it. And as we're going to see in the Gemara, many of the details of the korbanos that he talks about are not in conformance with what it says in the Torah. Now, Yechezkel is a Navi living hundreds of years after the Torah is given. He can't make up new halachas, and he can't be telling us halachas and korbanos different than the Torah. So what does all this mean? So first, we're going to talk about some of the psukim, and we're going to talk about what we darshan from them, and further down on the Omer, we're going to talk about that it actually took quite a lot of effort to explain these psukim and realize how they, after all, they match what the Torah is saying, and how from them how Yechezkel is informing us of certain dinim that already existed. They're already part of Torah Shabbat there, and he was told to write them down. The pasuk says in Yechezkel, "Uvayoyim haChodesh, on the day of Rosh Chodesh." It says Tikach, but here it doesn't actually say Tikach. In the pasuk, anyway, on the day of Rosh Chodesh, Har ben Bakar Tamim, you should bring one unblemished bull as a korban, the shisha krosvin, and six sheep, but Ayo on a ram, Tzmimim Yehu, they should all be unblemished. So what are we learning from that? Now, that's not the regular korban of Rosh Chodesh. The regular korban of Rosh Chodesh is indeed one bull, one ram, but it's seven sheep. So as far as the bull and the ram, on the face of it, Yechezkel doesn't need to repeat to us, because it already says in the Torah. And what does he mean, six? And what does he mean, six sheep instead of seven? So, par matam adloima. First of all, what does it mean? What is he coming to tell us with the word par? By Rosh Chodesh, the pasuk says that there were supposed to be parim b'nei bakar shnayim. I said it wrong before. There are certain yom tovim where you have two parim, and so I got backwards. I think Rosh Chodesh and Rosh Chodesh and Pesach and Shavuos, you have two parim. Rosh Hashanah yom kippur and Rosh Hashanah yom kippur and Shmini Atzeres, you have one par. So by Rosh Chodesh, the pasuk says it's supposed to be parim, two bulls. Uminayin shein lemotzeh shnayim maybe echad. So how do we know then that if you don't have two bulls for the korbanos of Rosh Chodesh, you bring only one? That's why Yechezkel is mentioning one par. If they don't have two, they just bring the one. Shisha kvasim matam adlaima. Why does he mention? So, the fact that he's mentioning the ram, there's no chiddush in it. The Gemara skips that, but fine. Once he's mentioning the korbanos, then we understand he has to mention the ram as well, even though it's not really necessary. But shisha kvasim matam adlaima. What are we learning from the fact that he says six sheep? Lefisha kvasim atarda shiva, because the Torah says it's supposed to be seven. Oh, same thing. We nine sheim lemotzeh shiva yavi shisha. How do we know that if he can't find seven, they should still bring sheep? That they should still bring six. Tamadana shisha. That is why Yechezkel says six. Now again, Yechezkel is not telling us a new halacha that hadn't existed before. A Navi can't do that. This is all part of Torah Shema Peh, and Yechezkel is writing it down for us. Okay. Or minayim shein lematzah shisha. How do we know by the same token, suppose a person can't find six sheep, yavi chamisha, then he brings five. Chamisha yavi abba. If he can't get five, he brings four. Abba yavi shlosha. If he can't find four, then he brings three. Shlosha yavi shnayim. If he can't find three, he brings two. Ba'afilo echad, or even if we only have one sheep, then that's what we bring. Tamad loymar, therefore, the next pasuk says in Yechezkel, v'lakvasim kasher tasig yodel. The next pasuk says, as far as the sheep, whatever he can afford. So we see from that. Now, the pasuk actually is talking about over there the menachas for the respective korbanos. We're going to talk about the figures that he gives for those menachas further down on this amud. But in any case, the pasuk says the expression v'lak tvasim kasher tasim yaday. So it means not only what he can afford as far as the menachas, but also what he can afford as far as the sheep. So therefore, so we learn from that, even if he can only afford one, then he bring one. Interesting that these psukim are in connection with Mashiach, where Mashiach is going to be a king and Tolam Adan and Mitzuyim Ka'ofer, as the Rambam says, everything is going to be available, so it's not as though there's going to be a shortage, and they can only afford one sheet or six or whatever, but nevertheless, that's the context in which these dinim are written. Okay, well, the Gemara says, Ma'achad Ksivachi, well, once it says that you can bring even one, Shisha Kvasim Lamali, then why does the previous pasuk have to say six? And the answer is the Kamada Efshalah Duri Mahadrin. Because at least as much as we can, we should try to. We shouldn't just say, well, one is good enough, so we'll just bring one and have done with it. No, we should try to bring at least as many as we can. In general, we find that with a lot of dinim. Even if you can't do the maximum, even if you can't do the whole thing, at least do what you can. One example is, yesterday we learned in the Gemara about a person who's supposed to be, say, 100 brachas every day. Should he at least try to say as many as possible? This is an interesting discussion when it comes to Neiris Chanukah. You have an interesting question. We know that each day you light more because Mahadrin Minah Mahadrin. What about, you have an interesting discussion of Achronim. What happens, for example, if it comes the third day of Chanukah and you only have two candles available? What should you do? Should you light two like you did yesterday, or should you light only one? You're either in any way not going to be able to do the three. So in fact, the Mishnah Brura brings, and then an earlier poskim than him bring, that you would just light one. There's arguments about that, but here also, in other words, you have the question: are you going to try to do the maximum you can, so at least you're not going down, or should you just do the one, since anyway you can't do the maximum? I believe that, if I remember correctly, there's also a letter from the Rebbe along those lines, or a Sicha, that talks about also that in that case, at least do the two, at least don't go down from the one from what you did yesterday, but anyway, there is that point. So here also, if you can bring the six, do that, don't just bring less than that. Okay? Then how do we know that the rams that are mentioned in Vayikra, this is in parenthesis because it doesn't really belong, we're asking about the sheep themselves. How do we know that they are ma'akiv one another? Therefore, Yechezkel continues in his pasuk over there. He says giyu. So what does that mean? They're ma'akiv one another. We just said that if you don't have the total number, then you bring. So Rashi explains, if they do have two parim, or they do have seven kvasim, then they do in fact have to bring all of them. So in other words, you can't say if we have all seven, well, since we know we're able to get away with less, let's bring less. No, you can't do that. You do have to bring all of them. So Rashi and Tosfos and also Rabbeinu Gershom basically explain, that way, Rabbeinu Gershom actually adds that it means exactly what we just said. Even if you only have the six, then you do in fact have to bring all the six. Tosfos brings up a couple of other explanations of what we mean in Menayin Shema Akhtim Zezeh. We learned from the Mishnah that the Tanakhama had said you bring, if necessary, all the animal korbanos, even if you don't have any nesachim. And Reb Shimon had argued and said that no, spend some of the money on nesachim. So therefore, so this Braisa would be telling us, not like Reb Shimon, that nevertheless bring as many korim as you can, even if that means you're not going to be able to afford any nesachim. A third possibility, Tosfos says, let's say, so you have enough kvasim, but if you bring all of them, you won't have any for the Talmud Shabbat HaBayim. Does that mean you should save one for the Talmud Shabbat HaBayim? Nope. The pasuk, the Braisa is telling us, according to the third explanation of Tosfos, you should offer all of them for the Musaf. Although Tosfos says it's Tzarech Iyun, because in a few dafim we're going to learn that actually the Tumidim, or the Tumid, is the Tumid takes precedence in that sense over the Musaf, because the Tumid is Tadir, which today, as opposed to the Musaf, which is an occasional thing. Fine. So that's what we learn from these psukim. So those are the various dinim that we learn from these psukim in Yechezkel. Okay, now let's go on and talk about some other psukim in this connection that Yechezkel says. Koyamar Hashem, he said, Koyamar Hashem Alekim. Hashem says, Borishan Be'echad Lachodesh, on the first month, which is Nisan, on the first day of the month, so Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Tikach Pav and Bako Tomim, you should take one unblemished bull and bring it as a korban. V'chitesa, something, this is probably why, or a few lines earlier when we had the word tikach in parenthesis, probably the copyist mixed it up with this pasuk, but in fact the pasuk which Gemara had quoted earlier on the Omer does not have the word tikach, whereas this one does. Anyway, you should take a parben brachot chomim. An interesting point that it says tikach, you should. should take. Yechezkel himself was saying this nevuah, but Hashem is telling him, you will take. So it's actually explained that it means, as we're going to talk about in a second, Yechezkel himself is going to come alive. That's Chesed Mason, and he will actually be the ones to be offering these korbanos that he himself had said nevuah about. Yechezkel was a kohen. So tikach pavan bakor tamim, you should take an unblemished bull and bring it as a korban to chitesa as a mikdash, and you should cleanse the mikdash. Now the word chitesa is the same shoresh as the word chatas, so it sounds like we're saying bring it as a chatas. But the Gemara explains that it's not but the question is chatas oila. What do you mean it's not a chatas? It's an oila. When you bring a korban, when you bring the bull on the shoresh, it's brought as a korban oila. So why is the pasuk saying b'chitesa? Now, of course, you could understand b'chitesa to mean you should cleanse, but nevertheless, the Gemara is bothered by Marusha points out, for example, the par aduma is also you have the word b'chita by it, but you know what? The par aduma is actually considered a chatas for certain purposes, not a true chatas, which is brought outside the azara, but nevertheless, it has some of the dinim of a chatas. But why are we saying the word b'chitesa in connection with this pasuk in connection with this korban? Of an animal korban, an oila. So Amar Rabbi Yechanan parashas Eliyahu asid l'dorsha. So Rabbi Yechanan says you should know Eliyahu Anavi is going to in the future darshan this pasuk. We don't know what it means. An interesting question. Kedushim Amir Pasim La Rashba points out, why do we need Eliyahu? Yechezkel himself will come alive. That's Chesed Mason, and he can tell us what he meant. And those chidushim give two answers. First of all, Yohan Novi may come a little bit before Chesed Mason, so he'll have a chance to tell us before Yechezkel himself comes back to tell us. The other explanation, he says, is that Eliyahu frequently appears in the Batei Medrash, even in earlier times. There are many stories in the Gemara, many stories in later times, where Eliyahu Anavi appeared to people, and then he can explain to us this pasuk long before Mashiach comes. Anyway, Rabbi Yechanan says, in short, I don't know what this pasuk means. Rabbi Ashi says, the answer is, Milui Hikrivu Bimei Ezra. The answer is, in the times of Ezra, when they built the second Beis Hamikdash, they brought Korbanos Milui, special Korbanos to dedicate the Beis Hamikdash, to Derech Sheikrivu Bimei Moshe, just like they brought in the times of Moshe, as it says in this week's parasha. And those korbanos are unusual, just like we find in the korbanos mentioned in this week's parasha, which in parasha Tzav and parasha Shmini, it describes how they actually brought them, and you have many features of them that are different than regular korbanos. That's how it is. Korbanos miluim, by definition, are going to be unusual compared to other korbanos. The same way Yechezkel is talking about here, about different korbanos that are going to be brought in the time of the third Beis Hamikdash. So Rashi explains, in other words, that Yechezkel was saying nevuah that when they come to build the second Beis Hamikdash, they are going to be bringing these korbanos. On the other hand, Shitum Kubetis brings that it means that in Ezra's time they didn't actually bring these korbanos. Had they been Zoicha, the Gemara mentions in some places, had they been Zoicha in the time of Ezra, the Beis Hamikdash they built would have been the final Beis Hamikdash, never to be destroyed, and then they would have brought these korbanos that Yechezkel says. But because they realized at the time, even when they built it, that it's not going to be permanent, it is going to be destroyed eventually, therefore they didn't build it exactly according to Yechezkel's blueprint. Mostly they built it according to the blueprint of the first Beis Hamikdash, and they also didn't bring these korbanos miluim. They brought other korbanos miluim, but the ones that Yechezkel is describing will be brought when the third Beis Hamikdash is built, Shibon and the head of Yamim. And in fact, the Rambam passed them according to this opinion and says that that's what these psukim in Yechezkel mean. So aside from the drushas that we're doing in the Gemara about over here, if you don't have enough korbanos, etc., the fact is he's also describing unusual korbanos that are going to be brought during that period. The Malbim actually on the Psukim has a long explanation. He says that basically the season of the Miluim, he explains basically that the Miluim of the third Beis Hamikdash are going to begin in Nisan and extend all the way until after Sukkot of the following year, which is why Yechezkel is describing unusual korbanos for Pesach and for Shavuos and for Sukkot. Because all of those are going to fall within the period of the Miluim of the third Beis Hamikdash. He has a whole calculation why it should have to be that long. It has to do with the Miluim of the Mishkan plus the first Beis Hamikdash plus the second Beis Hamikdash, etc. So So again, it's going to have different features. Tosfos discusses a little bit that the Gemara is going to go on again to darshan some of these psukim the Gemara is going to go on to darshan some of these psukim to teach us acts, to teach us halachas that are applicable in earlier times as well. But nevertheless, the Gemara is doichak itself to find that. But the answer that the Miluim could just cover all of that, and the Gemara didn't really need to go into all that doichak. An interesting side point, by the way, that Yon Yaakov on Ein Yaakov says an interesting vote. Why are we saying Dafke Eliyahu will darshan it? And the reason is, we know famously Eliyahu brought Korbanos on Har HaKarmel when the first Beis Hamikdash was standing, and the ostensible reason was, it was in Rambam Perek Echad yesterday or the day before, that he has to wean the people off of Adizari. He has to demonstrate for them once and for all, Hashem Hu Elikim, and therefore he's empowered as a Navi to do this unusual kind of thing. But the Yom Yaakov says that the Remez in it as well, the Beis Hamikdash is going to be destroyed eventually. There's going to have to be a later Beis Hamikdash, and it's going to have to have Miluim. Therefore, it's Eliyahu HaNavi who's specifically given the task of darshaning these psukim of what's going to be about the Korbanos when the third Beis Hamikdash is built. So Tanya Nami Hochi, in fact, we learn like that in the Braisa. Rabbi Yehuda in the Parsha Zu Osid El Eliyahu Osid the Dursha. Rabbi Yehuda says, I give up. I don't understand what these psukim mean. Eliyahu is going to have to douch in them for us. Omalei Rabbi Yossi, but Rabbi Yossi answers him, no, like Rabbi Ashi did, Miluim Hikrivu Bimei Ezra Kedera Sheikrivu Bimei Moshe. They brought Miluim in the times of Ezra, just as they did in the times of Moshe, and they will bring such Miluim when the third Beis Hamikdash is built. Even though it's not, again, as Tosfos points out, it's not exactly the same as Moshe's Miluim. There's many differences, but nevertheless, what we mean is there's unusual korbanos like there were in the times of Moshe. Amalos, Rabbi Yehuda says, Tanuach Daitva, may your mind be at ease, Cheinach the Daitva, because you set my mind at ease. I agree, that's what the pasuk means. It must mean that we're talking about korbanos and Miluim, not regular korbanos. In this connection that we're saying that the Miluim will begin on Rosh Chodesh Nissan, first of all, it's not universally agreed to. There's a well-known Medrash that says that they finished building the first Beis Hamikdash in Cheshvan, but they didn't actually do the Miluim of it until the following Tishrei. So Cheshvan was deprived, and as Hashem says, well, also lovely, the Chanukah Sabai, so the third Beis Hamikdash will take place in Cheshvan. How that fits with the Psukim over here that imply that it's going to be, that it's going to begin in Nissan. Could be, again, like the Malbim says, you're going to have a long, long period of Miluim, which maybe will extend all the way into Cheshvan. Maybe like the final stages of it will take place in Cheshvan. Anyway, there was an interesting vort on it, in Musaf of Rosh Chodesh, we have a line, Mizbeach Chodesh Tzion Tochin, Hashem, you will set up a new Mizbeach in Tzion, V'Oilas Rosh Chodesh Na'ala Olav, and we'll bring the Oilah of Rosh Chodesh on it. Now, why that expression there? You could say the same thing, Mizbeach Chodesh Tzion Tochin, and we'll bring the Korbanos of Shabbos on it, or we'll bring the Korbanos of Pesach on it. Why do we have that line specifically by Rosh Chodesh? So there's an explanation, actually, from Reb Chaim Kanevsky that says, based on this Gemara over here, we're saying that the Chanukah Sabayis is going to begin on Rosh Chodesh Nissan, meaning we're going to set up that Mizbeach, and the first thing that's going to be brought on it is this Olas Rosh Chodesh, which Yechezkel is describing over here. Okay. Talking about more psukim in Yechezkel that we don't understand, the Yechezkel says, Kol Nevelo Tshrefa, it says this, the Gemara already has it printed with Vav, Vichol, if we look Kol, in the Pasuk. Anyway, Kol Nevelo Tshrefa, Mina Oifo, Mina Behema, any Nevelo Tshrefa from birds or from animals, Lo Yechol HaKoyinim, the Koyinim shall not. Now, what does Yechezkel mean by that? The fact is, of course, what does it imply? Koyinim hu delo Yechol HaYisrael Achli. Does that mean that Koyinim are not allowed to eat Nevela and Tshrefa, but Yisraelim are? No. So again, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Parshazu Eliyahu also the Dersha. So again, Rabbi Yochanan says, I give up. Eliyahu Navi is going to have to explain this pasuk for us. We can't understand it. Amar Rabbi Ravina gives a different answer. You can have it. Here's an answer that we can actually understand even nowadays. Koyinim itzvich. The chiddush was, Yechezkel has to tell us, it's not that Koyinim can't eat it, but Yisraelim can. On the contrary, we might have thought that there's a reason that Koyinim should actually be mutter to eat it. Sakadat Chamina, we might have thought, however, Ishtri Malika Lagabayu, since Koyinim are able to eat a bird that was killed by Malika, as we learned in Zvachim, and Malika, after all, is not Shchita, Tishri Nami Nevelo Trefa, maybe in general they're allowed to eat Nevela and Trefa, maybe the whole concept of having to eat birds that are shechted does not apply to them. Therefore, Kamash Malon, therefore, no, Yechezkel has to tell us that Koyinim are not allowed to eat Nevela either. They have the, there is the exception where they're allowed to eat korbanos. Then there's a mitzvah for them to eat the korbanos, specifically the chatas olif that was killed by Malika. But other than that, they are also. And in fact, as we learned in Zvachim, if something goes wrong during the Malika, well, if the korban is fossil for whatever reason, then the korban will in fact be also to eat it and will get malchus and will become tomei by the tumma of nivas oif tohor that we learned all about in Zvachim, because we're not saying, in other words, that once they're allowed to eat malika, then they're allowed to eat, that's the point, because where we don't say that when they're allowed to eat malika, they're allowed to eat any kind of nevela. No, it's only when it's being brought as a proper korban. Here's another pasuk in Yechezkel, which is hard to understand. He says, because you're talking about his korbanos, he says, v'chein ta, after he describes the korbanos that are brought on Rosh Chodesh, then he continues, v'chein tasa b'shiva v'chodesh, it's the same thing you should do on seven of the month, on the face of it, it means on the seventh of Nisan, me'ish shoyo v'hesi, because of people who've been inadvertent or foolish, in other words, who've entered the Beis Hamikdash or ate kodshim while they're tamei, v'chitautim es habayis, and with that you will atone for the house. Now, the chayin tassa would refer to the par that we said before, that you're bringing as an ola, but which v'chitesa alamit, v'chitesa, but the pasuk said you're going to cleanse. So therefore, so again, in the simple sense, the foshim on the pasuk say, it means exactly that. Once we establish that Yechezkel is talking about korbanos miluim, then fine, here also he's saying that there's going to be a special korban miluim on the 7th of Nisan. Fine, but again, the Gemara doesn't just want to do with that. The Gemara also wants to be doichet to find a halacha for earlier times, that whenever there's a Beis Hamikdash and whenever there's korbanos, that this pasuk should be applicable. So what do we mean shiva? So what do we learn from the word seven? Amar Rav Yochanan, elu shiva shvatim shachatim. It refers to when seven of the shvatim have followed based in mistaken psak and sinned and did an aveira. As we learned from Masech Tahori, you have the various cases where the national Sanhedrin paskins wrongly on certain kinds of aveiras, and most of the people follow them. And here we're saying, and as we learned in Horius as well, that once seven shvatim follow that, then already it triggers that they have to bring a par helam davar shal tzibur. So for Apapisha in Ruba Shokohol, even if the population of those seven Shvatim does not constitute a majority of the Kohol, nevertheless, they still have to bring the power of Helam Gavar. So that's the word Shiva. The word Choydesh means Im Chidshu V'omru Chelav Mutter. For example, if Basin came up with a new psak to say, for example, that Chelav is Mutter, then that would be the kind of case where that triggers this korban. Which Tosfos points out that Rabbi Yehuda would disagree with that. Rabbi Yehuda, we learned in Horius, says that each shevet brings their own pad. Okay, but then Tosfos says even Rabbi Yehuda might say, talking about if less than the majority of each shevet did it, but then altogether it constitutes, but altogether it constitutes a majority of the Jewish people, then still there's still going to be the power of Helam Davar Shel Tzibur. So therefore, that's b'shiva and b'chodesh. When the pasuk continues, me'ish shoygo mipesi, from a person who was inadvertent or foolish, melamed she'en chayavan elal helam dabo im shigras maisa. From this we learn, as we learned in Herdius, that yechayim, the power helam dabo shal tzibur, only if they forgot the halacha and they passed wrongly, and there was shigras maisa, and the people actually followed them in practice and did that aveira. So now, in other words, we douse in the pasuk like this. We tell it before Yechezkel is telling you about a power that you bring as a korban. Now he continues, v'chein tasa b'shiva, the same thing you will do. You will bring a bull as a korban. B'shiva, if there are seven shvatim, b'choydesh, where they followed a new psak of bastion, me'ish shoyger, where they were inadvertent and forgot what the true halacha is, or mipesi, and the people were foolish and followed them, then you have to bring this korban, v'chitautim as a boyus, and you'll bring a kapara. So even though it sounds like a very unusual way of parsing the pasuk, but the Gemara is explaining that's what Yechezkel was hinting at. So the Gemara says, Amar of Yehuda Amar Rav, Zochor Oiso Ish Latoiv, you should know that person should be remembered for good, V'chanina ben Chizki Yishmoy. His name is Chanina ben Chizki. In other places it calls him Chananya ben Chizki ben Goroin. Shilmole Hu, if it hadn't been for him, Nigna Sefer Yechezkel would have been hidden away. The Hun would have said it has to be taken out of circulation and not available for people to learn anymore. Shahoyud Lorav, Soshun Dibre Torah. Because what he says, various Sukkim that he says, seem to contradict words of Torah. And people are going to mistake, are going to come to wrong conclusions. They're going to think that a Navi is able to contradict the Torah. Mal, so what did Hanina ben Chizkiah do? He brought up 300 barrels of oil to his attic so that he'll have the light for a lamp to be able to work by. As Rashi elsewhere explains that also he's going to need the oil to for his food as well. He's going to be eating and drinking while he's up there as well, so the oil will be part of that. The Yoshevalia, he sat up in the attic of his house, in the second floor of his house, the Doshe, and he sat and doushed all these psukim and figured out all these explanations that the Gemara has just said, and various other ones that are scattered here and there in Gemara's and Midrashim. He was able to figure them all out so that it turns out that the psukim are not contradicting what it says in the Torah anymore. During that time, by the way, it's also mentioned there's a Mishnah in Shabbos that mentions that one time the Shama and the Silo met up in this attic, and that was where they made the Gzeris, the famous Yud Ches Dover, the famous 18 Gzeris that the Chachamim made of various Dinim of Tumah V'Tahara. That took place then. So apparently, at some point, they came up to visit him to see how he's doing with his research, and then at that point, they had. Unusually there, they had a majority of Beis Shammai over Beis Hillel, and they were able to enact these 18 Gzeiros. But he worked on this. He worked on reconciling all these Pesukim in Yechezkel so that they don't contradict the Torah and they shouldn't have to hide it away. So the interesting point is, how could the Chachamim take on themselves to hide him away? I mean, Yechezkel's a Navi, after all. So there's a lot of interesting discussion on that subject, that basically, yes, if you have a Sefer, which there's a danger that people are going to be misunderstanding and learning up the courses from it or something. In this case, for example, to think that a Navi could contradict the Torah, then yes, if that means having to hide it away, then therefore we would have to do that. In other words, then Yehoyada teaches out exactly that. The Chum, of course, would prefer everybody should be able to learn it, but Minim are going to discover these and say that Nevi'im can contradict the Torah, and then they're going to say, well, our so-called Navi can also contradict the Torah. So therefore, they needed to hide it away, so they shouldn't have to Minim shouldn't have an opportunity to use it, especially because we find in various Gemaras that when they debated the Minim, there was actually quite a bit of danger involved. If they lose the debate, it's going to be a danger not just for the Ruchnius of the Jewish people, but also partially for the Gashnius. They might be in the Minim might be able to harm them physically. So therefore, they figured it's better to hide in a way. There's an interesting tshuva from the Moshe on a similar topic where he brings up this point and he brings up this Gemara as well. In the Moshe's times, in the mid-1970s, they published a manuscript of Kiddush of Rabbi Yehuda HaChosid on the Torah. And there's a lot of odd things in it, some of which, at least on the surface, seem to be flat out apocryphal. For example, he has in there various places where he says certain psukim were written after Moshe Rabbeinu's times. And we know one of the foundations of Yiddishkeit is that Moshe gave us the Torah as is, and it's never to be altered. So when this was brought to the Moshe's attention, he wrote a tshuva on it. You can find in Igles Moshe where he says, we're not going to suspect the Yehuda HaChosid of saying such things, of course. It must mean that somebody went and altered and added things into his Pirush that don't belong there, and therefore we shouldn't, it's safer, it had already been published. He says we should take it out of circulation and not allow it to be studied at all. You're going to say, what about all the good things that are in it from Yehuda HaChosid? First of all, he says, we're not necessarily going to be able to tell, even if we take out all the things that don't belong, what about? We may miss something, and again, then the Minim are going to use it. And second of all, he says, based on this Gemara, you see, for example, with Yechezkel, the Chum didn't consider just removing the problematic Sukkim and leaving the rest for them. It's an all or nothing thing. The Sefer was written with Neruah, and the Chachamim knew that. And if you're going to have to withdraw it, you can't tamper with it. You're going to have to take it out entirely. So okay, Yehuda HaChosid's Pirush is not written with Nebuah, but there's still the same similar concept. In other words, we're not just going to pick and choose if the Sefer is possible because of that, then you have to remove it entirely. But here, Rabbi Yehuda was saying that Chanina ben Chizkiya was able to save it by gashing all these psukim and show. And then Moshe continues in his shul over there. Now, at least we can say we do have answers to them. The minimum are not going to accept those answers. Fine, but at that point, that's not our problem. At least the Amei Ha'aretz, for example, will be aware the Chachamim have sound answers for these things. So they're not going to be bothered by the minimum. Are going to say, yeah, but that's not what the Chassid means, because the Amei Ha'aretz will respect the Chachamim enough to understand, fine, but the Chachamim found an answer, and for us, that's good enough. Continuing with, the Mishnah had said, Omer Reb Shimon, Hoyu Lahem Porim Meruvin. Polar Reb Shimon had said, if they have enough money for all the Porim, but they don't have for Nesachim, then he said, better they should spend some of the money on Nesachim. So, Shana Rabbanan, where does Reb Shimon get that from? From another Pasuk in Yechezkel. We quoted part of this Pasuk earlier, but Yechezkel says, the Eifa Lakar, if you bring an ephah of flour together with the bull, the ephah la'ayah, and an ephah together with the bull, yasa mincha, you should do as a mincha, v'lakvasim, and as far as the sheep, kasher, tasig, yadai, whatever you can afford, the shemen, and as far as the oil for the mincha, hin la'ephah, one hin per ephah. Now, so it sounds like he's saying that for each korban, you have one ephah of flour mixed with one hin of oil. An ephah is 10 esroim. And a hin is 12 lugin. So Amar Reb Shimon said, wait a minute, like midas parim the elim achasi, since when is the amount of menachas the same for a bull and for a ram? The Torah tells us in Parshas Shlach, when it talks about the Nesachim, it says for a bull you have 3 asroinim of flour, and then six lugim of oil mixed with it, and for a ram you have two asroinim and 4 lugim. So they're not all the same, even though the pasuk makes it sound as though it's all the same. So fine, you could say the word eifa means the proper amount, but what does it mean exactly? Then why is he phrasing it that way? So what does it mean? So the word eifa we're taking to mean not the actual measure called an eifa, but rather the proper measure for each korban. And from that we learn, says Reb Shimon, Ella, Shem Hoyulahem Porim Merubim, from this we learn the point that we're saying over here, that Reb Shimon is saying, if they have enough money to buy lots of bulls, v'lahoy nesachim, but they don't have money for nesachim, yovil par echad nesachim, better they should just bring, even if necessary, one bull together with the nesachim, v'ayukru v'kulim b'la nesachim, rather than offering all of them without nesachim. And similarly, v'imhoy lahem elim merubin, similarly, if they have many, many rams, v'lahoy lahem efasa, and they don't have efa, the proper amounts for each of them, yovil ayil echad efasa, better they should bring one ayil together with its eifa, together with its proper measure that it's supposed to be, rather than offering all of them without the eifa, without the proper amount of flour, or without the proper amount of flour and oil. So Reb Shimon is learning it from this pasuk in Yechezkel. So again, Rashi is explaining over here that the word eifa over here, we're taking to mean not the actual measure called an eifa, but rather eifa over here would really be a shorthand way of saying the proper amount as is prescribed for it in the Torah. Tosfos brings that Rashi on the Pesukim in Yechezkel gives a different explanation. Each time they would start with an acre of flour and then sift it over and over until they got soilus, until they got the fine flour. We're going to learn later on in the Masechta. We're going to talk about the Omer, the Shtei Lechem that they did and the Lechem Aponim. That they did that, they would start with ordinary flour and sift it over and over until they got the soilus. So the same way over here, then it would be they'd start with an eifa, and then from that they would get the three esroinim for a bull and the two for an aisle, etc. So now what we're saying is, let's say for example, so now let's say they can't sift it so finely. If they do, they won't have enough. Then instead they'll start with an eifa and end up with more flour out of it because it won't have been sifted as finely. As far as the hin, it would mean, Tosfos points out, there was a large container called a hin, and there were measuring lines in it, like having a measuring cup, and so it means they would fill it up according to the appropriate line, and then fill it up until the appropriate line. That's how Rashi explains all that in the Pesukim in Yechezkel. Tosfos also brings from Sifri another drakha of the same Reb Chanina ben Chizki of Ben Gordon that we just talked about, that he says that there are different measurements, all of which can be called an eifa. So therefore, that's another way of explaining. When he says eifa la par, eifa la ayo, he means a larger eifa for the par and a smaller eifa, a smaller measure for the ayo, exactly as the Torah says.
What about the fact that we're not supposed to derive halacha from the vegan?
So that's the thing. So in all of this, we're saying that we are, well, it's not really we're deriving these halachas. The Gemara phrases it in some other places that these were all parts of Torah Shema Peh, and Yechezkel was told to put them in his Nevuah and write them down for us. But they're all originally part of Torah Shema Peh. These are not new halachas these are halachas that existed up until that point, and Yechezkel is writing them down for us and having that, and so that we can learn them. But if not for that, they would have been part of Torah Shema Peh, and eventually they would have been recorded in the Mishnah and Gemara like anything else.
How do we know it's all about
Torah? How do we know? Because that's how it is. Because the fact is that we give Divrei Torah, we give Kabbalah, Lo Yofinin, but you were learning these deep details from Yechezkel. So the Gemara mentions that in some other places. Yechezkel, for example, says that an oral is not allowed to serve in the Bishnah Mikdash. We don't know. We only know that from that pasuk in Yechezkel, but the Gemara explains that it was part of Torah Shema Peh, and Yechezkel wrote down. You asked something?
I'm saying the strenium and everything is also about oil, not just about the flour.
Yeah, the flour and the oil. He mentions both. He mentions the
Eifa. Eifa is a dry measurement, right?
Right, but he mentions the Hin as well. He mentions the Hin as well, yeah. And that's Tosfos quoted from Rashi on the Pesuk in Yechezkel. The Gemara tells us later on in the Sechta, there were measuring cups in the Bais Hamikdash, yeah. But was there in fact, for example, you have to have six logim of oil and six of wine for a pot, four of each for an aisle, three for a kebis. Yeah. Did they actually have a four-load container and a three, or did they have schnosses, tell you about hin, they had one big hin that had different measuring, that had lines on it to measure the different amounts. So Tosfos on the posik, Tosfos quotes over here from Rashi on the posik, that's what it means. When he says a hin, he means they would use the hin measure and fill it up to the appropriate amount. Mishnah says, Hakarva Elim Vakvasim Vasur Ein Ma'akvanis Alechem. Let's focus on the Shtei Alechem. The Shtei Alechem comes with a bunch of korbanos. It comes with a car, two rams, seven sheep, and it also comes with a sur that we have lachatos. This is why, by the way, usually in Yom Tov Davening, in Rosh Chodesh, in Yom Tov Davening, when we mention the Musafim afterward, we have the paragraph from Nechosim and Eskeim to Medubar, and in that paragraph, we usually have the words, the sur lachapre. There's a goat to be lachapre because that's the chatos that was brought together with it. But on Shavuos, we have instead the Lashon of Shneisi in Mechaper, the Alter Rebbe has in his Siddur. Why? Because on Shavuos, we don't mention, now in Shavuos Davening, we're not focusing on the Korbanos of the Shtei Alechem. We're only mentioning the regular Musaf. Nevertheless, the fact is, there were two Chatois brought on that day, one with the Musafim, one with the Shtei Alechem, and therefore the Alter Rebbe put in the Siddur of Shneisi in Mechaper. We also have a Shneisi in Machaper on Yom Kippur. That's because there are in fact on Yom Kippur. Everybody agrees there was in fact more than one chatas. Okay. So the Mishnah says that all these korbanos that come with the Shtei Alechem are in ma'akvanes alechem. They're not ma'akiv the Shtei Alechem. The alechem ma'akvan, and the lechem is not ma'akiv them. So in other words, if they only have the Shtei Alechem, if they only have the wheat to make the Shtei Alechem, then they do that and they don't bring any of these animal korbanos with them. And vice versa. If they only have the animals and not the Shtei Alechem, then they bring the animals anyway. However, what about now? So altogether, you have like this. With the Shtei Alechem, you have as follows. You have these korbanos that we just mentioned. You have one car, two elim, seven kvasim, all of which are oilless, a surah for a chatas, and then in addition, together with the Shtei Alechem, you have shnei kvasim. You have two sheep that are brought as shalmei tzibur, as shlomim for the tzibur. So we're saying that the other ones, so now, as we're going to talk about later on, those kvasim are actually waved together with the Shtei Alechem. So they have a much closer, and we're going to talk about over the next couple of dafim, that they have a very close connection with the Shtei Alechem in the sense that when they're shechted is when the Shtei Alechem get their kvasim. So those Shnei Kvasim we'll talk about next in the Mishnah, but first the Mishnah is saying the other ones, which are brought together with the Shtei Alechem, but they're not that closely connected with it, so they're not ma'akiv of each other. As we learned on Amud Aleph, the number of those is ma'akiv in the sense we said, because it says yiyu, so therefore you have to have the full seven Kvasim, for example, but if you only have the par and aisle and Kvasim, and you don't have the Shtei Alechem, then you bring them anyway and vice versa. What about the Mishnah continues? Halechem ma'akvas chasim, then a chasim ma'akvas halechem. Give Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says the bread is ma'ak of the shnei chasim, but not vice versa. So in other words, Rabbi Akiva says if you don't bring the shnei lechem, then you cannot bring the shnei chasim, says Rabbi Akiva. But it's not the other way around. If you don't have the chasim, you still bring the shnei lechem anyway. Amr Rav Shimon Menanos loy ki, but Rav Shimon Menanos says it's not like that. Ella, it's the other way around. Chasim ma'akvas halechem, ve'alechem ain't ma'akvas chasim. On the contrary. The sheep, the shalmei tzibur, are ma'akev the bread, the shtei lechem, but not vice versa. If you don't have the sheep, you don't bring the shtei lechem. But if you don't have the shtei lechem, then you bring the kvasim anyway. The exact opposite of what Rabbi Akiva says. And then Nana says it. Rabbi Shimon Nana says, I'll prove it. Shekein matzinu. So you saw about midbar boim shana. We find when the Jewish people were 40 years in the desert, korv kvasim below lechem. They brought the kvasim, but they didn't bring the shtei lechem, because the shtei lechem, as well as the omer, can be brought only, Rashi points out, can be brought only from grain that was grown in Eretz Yisrael, and they weren't in Eretz Yisrael yet. So therefore, they weren't bringing the shtei lechem. First was quotes in the name of Rashi, which we don't have a Rashi in front of us, that in the Midbar they didn't have wheat, they only had mun. But Tosva says, wait a minute, they did have, there were travelers, there were traders, Goyish traders, traveling through the caravans, traveling through the desert, and they would have been able to buy, buy wheat from them. In fact, later on in the Masechta, when we talk about the Shtei Lechem, we'll see they had the Shtei Lechem in the Midbar as well, and they also brought the Minchas HaOmer, and all of that comes from grain, so obviously they had to buy that from Goyish merchants, so there's no reason they couldn't have done that with the Shtei Lechem as well. And Achronim ask about that, but wait a minute, what does Tosfos mean when he says the Omer? You know, the Omer has to be harvested by Jews. They can't buy it from Goyim. So the Sfasemes says maybe it means in the Midbar they had. I mean, they're in one for one time or another. They would stay in a place. Sometimes they would stay in a place long enough where they could grow barley for the Omer. Tosfos, in fact, says as much in a different place. Anyway, then Tosfos gives a different explanation why they didn't bring the Shtei Lechem, because that only applies when they come into Eretz Yisrael, Kisavoyu al-Aretz, and therefore they don't, they didn't have to yet bring it in the Midbar. But then Tosfos wonders, then they shouldn't have brought the Korbanos either. Tosfos just says, v'yesh l'chalik, we can draw a distinction, and then Tosfos goes on to explain that the Shtei Lechem are called Bikurim. So they're in Bikurim, has to be Davka from Eretz Yisrael. So we have several different reasons why Ben Nanas is saying they didn't bring the Shtei Lechem in the Midbar, and yet the pastors, they brought the Korbanos with them. So we see that you're able to bring the Korbanos, including the Shnei Klosim, even though you don't have the Shtei Lechem. Achkan, so the same way in later times as well. You don't have a Lechem upon him. What's to prevent you from bringing the Kvasim just like you bring the rest of the Korbanos? So Rav Shimon Nana says, there we have a proof against Rav Akiva. So the Gemara says, Omer Rav Shimon, Halacha Kedibi Ben Nanas. The Halacha is actually like Rav Shimon Ben Nanas. So now Tosfos points out, Halacha? Why is he passing the Halacha? Hilchos LaMashiach. Do we need to know the Halacha for when Mashiach comes? Mashiach will tell us what the Halacha is. So there's an explanation that what he really means is that when he says halacha kedibur bananas, he just says, you know what, I can bring a proof to what banana says, that he's correct, that his din is correct, aval ein atam kedvarav. And the reason is not because he said, but the din that he's saying is absolutely true and logical, but I'll give a different rationale for it, says Rav Shimon. The rule is like this, kol ha'omer b'chumash ha'pkodim, all the korbanos that are mentioned in Chumash Bamidbar, Korev Bamidbar, all of those, the Musafim that I mentioned, one after the other, in Parashas Pinchas, all of those were offered in the desert. The Chola Omer B'Toras Koyanim, anything that's mentioned only in Chumash VaYikra, namely the Shtei Lechem and the Korbanos that are brought with it, ain't Korev Bamidbar. Those things, says Rav Shimon, were not offered in the Midbar. So unlike Ben Nanas, who's saying that those Korbanos were brought in the Midbar, it's not the Shtei Lechem, because they didn't have wheat for them, or whatever the reasons, Rav Shimon is saying that they weren't brought at all in the Midbar. Once they came into Eretz Yisrael, then both groups of korbanos start being brought. Well then, so what does that have to do with the kvasim and the shtei lechem? Rav Shimon says, in other words, I disagree with Ben Nanas. His premise is that the korbanos of the shtei lechem were brought in the Midbar, and is the shtei lechem or not? I'm saying, says Rav Shimon, that none of them were brought in the Midbar. So why do I agree with Ben Nanas' actual din that you bring the kvasim even though you don't have the lechem? Because the kvasim themselves, when you shech them, they become mutter to eat. But you can't bring the bread without the kvasim, because then you won't have anything to be matter it, because what makes the shnei lechem mutter for the kohenim to eat is when we shech the two kvasim. So Rav Shimon is saying the logic is you can't bring the lechem without the kvasim, because then what are you going to do with it? You're not offering it on the mizbeach because it's chametz. The purpose of the shtei lechem is supposed to be for the kohenim to eat, and if the kohenim can't eat it because you don't have a kvasim to shech to make it mutter, then what's the point of bringing it? Therefore, that would be a reason, but that would be a rationale for Ben Manasseh's din that you should not bring the shtei lechem unless you have the shnei kvasim. As opposed to, again, if one's in a makiva, then we would say the other way around, that you do bring the lechem without the kvasim, and not the other way around. Usually when you have a machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and individual chachamim, usually the halacha is like him, halacha Rabbi Akiva mechaberoi, and the Rambam indeed passed things like this, that you bring the lechem, even if you don't have the kvasim, but not vice versa. So the Gemara says, "Tana Rabbanan." We learn in a Braisa when the pasuk says, "V'ikravtem al halachem." The pasuk says you should offer together with the shtei lachem. It says you should bring the seven sheep, etc. Now, al halachem means choyva al halachem, means it's required to be brought together with the bread. So it sounds like, in other words, they are interdependent, and if you don't have shtei lachem, then you're not bringing those korbanos. But here we're talking about the ones that were mentioned first in the Mishnah, the seven, the pyre, the shnei elim, the seven kvasim, and the sur. So first let's focus on those. So it sounds like they come choyv al lachem, they're required to be brought together with the shtei lachem. But then the pasuk continues, shivas kvasim tmimim, but it just says that you bring seven unblemished sheep without saying the word al halachem. Tosfos says, because if it meant that they're actually interdependent with the bread, it would have said they craft them al halachem shivas kvasim. Instead it says, now that is actually what it says in the pasuk. So there's different gersoys of what Tosfos means to say. That it should have said shiva kvasim rather than shivas, or that it should have said the kraptim shivas kvasim al alachem. Anyway, the way the pasuk phrases it seems to imply that they're not interdependent with the kvasim. So afafi she'en lechem. So it sounds like it means you bring them even if there is bread. Im kein matamad loyma al lechem. So what does the pasuk mean when it says together with the bread? Malamed. From this we learn shalom ischayvav with kvasim kodem shenischayvav lechem divrei Reb Tarfon. So Reb Tarfon says that means as long as they're not yet chayav to bring the shtei lechem, namely as long as they were in the desert, where, as we said in the Mishnah, they weren't yet chayav in the shtei lechem for one reason or another, then they weren't yet chayav to bring all these other korbanos either. So Reb Tarfon says like Reb Shimon in our Mishnah that they weren't, that none of them were being brought in the midbar. Rabbi Akiva, though, says, Rabbi Akiva disagrees, although there's a different girsa, actually, in this braisa comes from Sifra on Vayikra, and actually over there, it doesn't say Rabbi Akiva, and it's from Tarfon continuing. Rabbi Akiva says, or not, Reb Tarfon continues and says, Yochol hein hein kvasim hamurim kan hein hein kvasim hamurim b'chumash atkodim. Now you would think, in the Korbanos, in both places, in Parshas Emor and in Parshas Pinchas, it mentions that you bring shiva kvasim. You would think they're the same ones. But you have to say, Tratim Agiyah, Portim Ve'elim, when you look at the Portim and Elim that come with them, you see Ein and Hain, you see it's not the same thing. Because in in Vayikra, it says you bring one par, two Elim, and in Pinchas, it's the other way around, two Portim, one Ayil. So just the fact that it's both seven sheep means it's not the same one. Ela halola boin b'gval atzman. Rather, we learn from that, the ones that are mentioned in Pinchas are coming independently as a korban musaf. V'halolu, a boin b'gval lechem, and the others, among the ones mentioned in Vayikra, are coming together with and because of the shtei lechem. Nimtza, so it comes out, masha'omu b'chumashat kodim, korban midbar. So now it comes out, says Rabbi Akiva. Or according to the Gil, says it's Rabbi Tarfon. Then Rabbi Tarfon agrees with Rabbi Akiva on that, that what it says in, or rather agrees with what Rabbi Shimon rather says in the Mishnah. That whatever it says in Chumash HaPkudim, whatever it says in Bamidbar, Kodah Bamidbar was in fact offered in the Midbar, because it has nothing to do with the Shteya Lechem. Or Masha Omer, but Toras Torinim, what's mentioned in Toras Torinim, in Chumash Vayikra, Loi Kodah Bamidbar was not being offered in the Midbar, because that goes only together with the Shteya Lechem. By the way, the reason we call these respective chumashim that, Vayikra is called Toras Koyanim, because most of the dinim in Chumash Vayikra have to do with the Koyanim. The Korbanos, the mitzvahs of Koyanim, the details about Koyanim, when they're allowed and not allowed to eat Truma, many of the dinim of Truma Vatara are more applicable to the Koyanim than anybody else, etc. So therefore the Chumash is called, the whole Chumash is called Toras Koyanim. Vamidbar is called Chumash HaPkudim, which means the Chumash of the countings, but yeah, countings of the Jewish people in Parshas Vamidbar and Parshas Pinchas in it. Anyway, so therefore, so Rabbi Akiva or Rabbi Tarfon is saying that you actually have two separate sets of korbanos over here. There's one because of the Musafim, one because of the Shteya Lechem. The ones for the Musafim were offered even during the 40 years in the desert. The ones for the ones for the Shteya Lechem were not. Well, the Gemara says, but still, how do we know? We're doing a Purim ve'Elam Lavnit Inu. Fine, maybe we have to say, though, the Purim and Elam are obviously not the same ones because they're because it's different numbers, two parim and one aisle versus one par and two alim. Ha kvasim inu ninu, but maybe the kvasim are the same. It's seven in both places. And the answer is no. Since the parim and alim are different numbers, then we understand, and it's obviously separate karbonis, then the kvasim as well are going to be different ones. So it's 14 sheep altogether. Okay, the Gemara asks, but still, how do we know the Torah is varying the number in each place? Maybe the Torah is saying, if you want to offer one par and two elim, then you can do that. Or if you want, you can do two parim and one ayil. So how do we know? How do we know? The Torah is not just giving us the option. It could be one or the other. And then in that case, the kvasim could be the same ones. Tosfos points out that the Gemara is, what the Gemara is saying is it says parim, and it's in one place it says parim, and the other place it says elim, and here it says ayol or shnei parim, it doesn't say echad. It does say echad, but whatever, the point is, in other words, that if it meant that you have to bring all of them, then it should have said three parim and three elim. So the fact that it says them separately, maybe it means you have your choice. And the answer is no. Since in the two places it says them in a different order, because first in Vayikra it mentions first the sheep, and in Bamidbar first it mentions the parim, then the elim, and then the sheep. Therefore we see from that that they're different ones. Sfasemis explains a little differently. Usually, whenever it talks about the Musafim, it always puts the sheep last. Here, Davka puts the sheep first to show that they're different ones. So that's what we're saying. Therefore, that the so we're saying so far we're bringing from this Braisa that these korbanos were that these korbanos of the Shteya Lechem were not being brought during the Midbar. Were not being brought in the Midbar because the Shteya Lechem themselves were not, which agrees with Reb Shimon's opinion in our Mishnah and disagrees with Ben Nanas's. Okay. Now though, we said Halachem Ma'akam as a kvasim. The Mishnah had continued that, as far as the Shteya Lechem and the two sheep, that Rabbi Akiva had said the bread is ma'ak of the kvasim, meaning if you bring the kvasim, you have to bring the lechem, the Shteya Lechem together with them, but not the other way around. So, my time is Rabbi Akiva. Why does Rabbi Akiva say that? So, the pasuk says like this: you bring the Shteya Lechem, you bring the two sheep as the Shalmei Tzibur, you wave them together with the Shteya Lechem, and the pasuk says Yiyu Kodesh Yiyu LaShem LaKoyim, they shall be for Hashem that they're given to the Koyanim. Meaning now the word Yiyu is to be ma'akiv, but what is ma'akiv with you? Rabbi Akiva Gomer Yiyu Mitiyana. Rabbi Akiva Darshin. So my time Gomer Yiyu Mitiyana. Rabbi Akiva Daushan's Zera Shava out from the word Yiyu, from the word Tiyena at the beginning of that section, where it says that when you bring the Shteya Lechem, Silas Tiyena, they should be made out of fine flour. Mala Halam Lechem, there it's talking about the bread. Afkan Lechem, therefore over here also the word Yiyu refers to the bread, then it means that it's ma'akev the kvasim. If you don't bring the shtei lachem, then you can't bring the kvasim. Tosfos points out that as it is, we learn from the tiyena itself. We learned before that it means individually that you have to have shtei lachem. You can't have just one. You have to have two kvasim. You can't have just one. We learned in the previous parak, but nevertheless. But nevertheless, it also means Tosfos explains it does also mean that the pasuk is not telling us that the kvasim are ma'akev the bread, but rather the other way around. So in other words, the Gzeira Shavah tells us that mainly focus on the lechem, and therefore the lechem is the absolute prerequisite, and you have to have that, but you don't have to have the kvasim. So that's how Rabbi Akiva learns it. Benanus, what about Benanus? He says, Gomar, he learns the Zeta Shavah differently. Yiyu, yiyu. He learns from the word yiyu, where it says, yiyu ola lashem, about the kvasim, and then it says, yiyu, kodesh, yiyu lashem lakayin, malahavan kvasim, afkan kvasim. Well, then the other yiyu is referring to the kvasim, therefore the word yiyu, kodesh, yiyu lashem lakayin, refers to the kvasim, and telling us that the kvasim is the most important thing, and if you don't have kvasim, then you don't bring lachem lakayin. Well, the question is, Benanas nami nelech mitiyena. Why can't Benanas learn the Zeta Shavah from Tiyena instead? Malahalam lachem achan lachem. And learn that both of them are referring to the bread. Why does Yidavka insist on doing the Zeta Shavah from the other word yiyu? Which means, by the way, Shitim Kubetzis points out, in the Mishnah, Benanas have given a different reason. He said, because we see in the 40 years, they brought the kvasim without the lechem, and the same way in future times, you can also bring kvasim without lechem. But the real reason would be because of his Zera Shava. In other words, Benanas is telling Rabbi Akiva, given that logic, then you should also be learning the Zera Shava the way I do. So why isn't Benanas learn from Tiyana? Because after all, both of them are talking about the lechem. One answer is Donin, because you're about Benanas figures, Donin Yiyu mi Yiyu, because you should learn. Say the Shava from Yiyu to another Yiyu, then Donin Yiyu mi Tiyana. They're not the same words, so therefore you shouldn't darshan of Zeta Shava like that. Well, the question is, my naf gemina. What's the difference? Sometimes we dash on a zera shovel like that, even with different shoshin. Hatana dvera bishmol. We learn in a brisa from the shiva of bishmol. This comes up in many, many different places in Shas. We actually had it even at the beginning of Amos. You have a zera shovel as far as tzaras of houses. The shova koin of va koin. One pasuk says the koin returns, and another one after the first week, and another one says after. After the second week, it says uvah koyin. It says the koyin comes zeu shiva zeu bia, and we learn in zeu shava that shiva and bia are the same thing. From which we learn certain details about what happens after the first week. It's the saras hasn't spread versus the second week, even though the pasuk makes it sound as though he returns, he finds the saras and he tears down the house. In fact, it's not so. Even after the second week, there still may be a third week when we leave the house alone and don't tear it down yet. And we learn that from this zeu shava between the first week and the second week. So we see, therefore, they add Zera Shava even across different words that are not the same Shodesh at all. What does Benanas have a problem with Zera Shava from between Yiyu and Tiyan? And the answer is, Hani Nidhi, Hechad the Luck of the Dumilay. Sure, if there's no other comparable word, then you're going to use a different word. I will Hechad the Ikad the Dumilay. But if there is a comparable word here where you have the word Yiyu available, Mid the Dumilay, Yafin, and then Benanas figures we should learn from the one that's most similar to it. Okay, so that's why Benanas doesn't want to accept the Akiva's Zera Shava, and that's why he insists on doing the Zera Shava, which results that the Kvasim are the most important thing. Okay, but Rabbi Akiva Nami Leila from Yiyu Mi Yiyu. Why doesn't Rabbi Akiva darshan the Zera Shava like Benanas does? And the result would be that the Kvasim are the most important. So even though it would mean learning from one thing to another, from the lechem to the kvasim, nevertheless, Rabbi Akiva should do that. The answer is because Rabbi Akiva holds donin davar shematana l'koyin mi davar shematana l'koyin, because it's more logical to learn between things that are present for the koyin. The shtei lechem are given to the koyinim and eaten by them. La puki hani, as opposed to when it says about the shivas kvasim, the olus ninu. Those are olas, and the koyanim don't eat any of them. So in other words, Rabbi Akiva is saying, don't look at the actual similarity of words, look at the similarity of content, look at the similarity of the type of korban. So therefore, more logically, we should be learning from the shtei lechem to the shnei kvasim, which are also eaten by the koyanim. rather than learning from the oilus, which are not eaten by the Kohenim. So that's one way of understanding Rabbi Akiva and Ben Manasseh as machlokes. The boy saying, well, another way you could say the kragufi kumbifugi. They're arguing within the meaning of the pasuk itself. When the pasuk says kodesh, so not exeter shava, but the actual meaning of the pasuk. Kodesh viul Hashem lakoyim. The pasuk says they shall be kodesh for Hashem for the koyim. Rabbi Akiva saver, eizehu davar shakulu lakoyim, heveyom eizeh lachem. Which of these things is given completely to the koyim, namely the lachem, namely the shnei lachem? Because even the shnei kvasim. They're fat. They're emurim, a brunt on the mizbeach. So you want something that's completely eaten by the kohenim, then that would be the lechem. And therefore, when the Torah is saying kodesh yiyu l'ashem l'kohen, and the word yiyu we're saying is ma'akev, must mean something which is exclusively to the kohen. Ben Nanas answers that. Miksiv kodesh yiyu l'kohen. If it's, it doesn't say they should be kodesh for the kohen, which would imply that they're only for the kohen, kodesh yiyu l'ashem l'kohen. Ksiv. The fact is, the pasuk says l'ashem l'kohen. What kind of thing is partially offered on the Mizbeach to Hashem and partially eaten by the Kohen? Heavy and the Eru Kvasim. Necessarily, that's the Kvasim. Therefore, we should learn that the Kvasim are the most important thing. And the Yiyu is telling us that they were the one, that's Ma'akim. Rav Akiva, what does Rav Akiva answer back to that? He says, "Miksit kodesh yu l'ashem v'la koyin." Yeah, but it doesn't say it's kodesh to Hashem and to the koyin, which would imply that's partly be giving being given to Hashem and partly to the koyin. No, l'ashem la koyin. It says to Hashem to the koyin, and what does that mean? Kidur Rav Huna. You have to explain it the way Rav Huna says it. The Amr Rav Huna. Rav Huna says in a different context, as far as gezel ager, kno Hashem v'nasal akoyin. Hashem has acquired it and give it to the covenant to the Kohen. It's called Meshulchan Gavoya Kazahu. They're being zoche in it from the table of Hashem. So Rav Huna says that so we see that Rav Huna says you can have something which was acquired by Hashem and it goes straight to the Kohen. The same way Rabbi Akiva is saying Kodesh Yu LaShem LaKohen means precisely that, something which belongs to Hashem, a Kohen, but Hashem grants it to the Kohenim, and namely, so therefore that would be the Shnei Lechem. But not that it's partially to Hashem and partially to the Kohen. So Rashi says that Rav Huna is primarily talking about Gezel Ager, the case where a person stole from a Ger, swore falsely on it, and then the Ger passed away without Yoshin, where then you have to give it to the Kohenim of that Mishmer. Toast just points out it's not really the same thing. There it's to the Kohenim of that Mishmer. Here it belongs to all the Kohenim equally. So rather, Toast just says Rav Huna was actually referring to our case over here, and saying that that's what it means, Knoi Hashem v'nosal l'koyin, and therefore, so that is what it means, and therefore, Rav Akiva says this is how we're going to learn the pasuk, Kodesh Yiyu L'Hashem l'koyin. That's telling us the Yiyu goes on the Shnei Lechem, and therefore that's what's ma'akev, rather than the Kvasim being ma'akev, like Ben Manasseh says. Okay, so we'll.